love shine. Stories of grace, hope redefined. Heart to heart, let's lift our eyes. Welcome home to light it up alive. Lift our eyes. Welcome home to light it up alive. Welcome home to light it up alive.
Hey, we're back. Welcome to another episode of Light It Up Live, where we're igniting minds and elevating faith. I'm your host tonight, but I don't do it alone because I got my boy Josh with me. What's going on, my brother?
Yeah, another day. How about you?
Yes, sir. What's going on with you? Man, I'm blessed, dude. I like our new little intro, man. That was fancy.
Yeah, that was fancy little logo
good,
flip,
right? Yeah,
boy, Transformers.
Wow, man. Wow. We're looking all professional up in here.
So how you doing today, man? You good?
Oh, I'm doing good, man. You know why I'm doing good? It's because I did absolutely nothing.
Right? Nice little day off.
I did nothing. I did laundry. I'm lying. But still, I did nothing. Played on the VR a little bit. Sat on the couch. Ate some food. Ate some more food. And then I did laundry and then ate some more food. Then played a little more VR and then ate some more food.
Huh. Yeah, that's a good day, right?
That's
there.
A good day, buddy. Yeah, getting ready for the show. I talked to our guest. It's episode 35 today, brother. But before we get into that, let's explain to people, Josh, how we came up with Light It Up Live. It was pulled out of Genesis 1, 3, and 4. And it is, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from darkness. That's what we try to do here on Light It Up Live. We try to bring a little bit of light into a dark world, one episode at a time. But today, brother, it's...
interview day today.
Yeah, man. We're kind of booked up. Almost all the way through April, we're booked up with guests. It's an absolute blessing. Excuse me. It's an absolute blessing, man, that we are booked up. And today we got a good one, man. His name is Brian Swift. He's written 10 books. He's an author. He started a nonprofit called SOAR, which stands for Swift Outdoor Accessible Recreation. It's helping people with disabilities get outside and get out and have adventures. And he helps people with mental health. Man, he's a speaker, and I can't wait until we have him on. He's actually in the green room right now. Hanging out, dude. So we just got to talk to him for a little bit, and I'm excited to have Mr. Swift on, man. It's going to be exciting. He's got a great story, and I'm not going to ruin it. I'm going to let him share it. But you guys, don't forget to check us out on our YouTube channel. Go over to YouTube and put at Light It Up Live, all one word. Do us a favor, subscribe, like, share it out, spread the love. And you guys over on YouTube and Facebook, if you want to interact with us, you can, when you go into the chat, Josh can reply right back to you. And I can also put it up right here on the show, and you can interact with the show right from the chat on Facebook and YouTube. You got to say, spotlight
for the day.
I don't really have
much of a spotlight for the day.
That's okay.
I was looking up, you know, what historical events that happened today throughout time. And today seems to be the most boringest day of the year. Nothing happened. You know what I'm saying? Like nothing at all. So
that's I don't really have the spotlightest day.
It's a spotlightest day.
You know spotlightest day. I know I'm thirsty.
No, you're drinking that Dubby. I know. Today, you know, we're moving time forward. You know, so that's a spotlight, I guess. You know,
stupid. So, but, I can't stand it. Yeah. But hey, you guys, check out Dubby. Dubby energy drink. It's absolutely delicious. And if you go to dubby.gg, whenever you check out, if you put in a discount code. At Light It Up Live, all one word, you get 10% off. Look how we're hooking them up, Josh. 10% off on orders, man. It's clean, smooth energy, no sugar added, unique flavors. It's got focus ingredients. It's got coffee fruit extracts plus vitamins and amino acids. You guys, check out some Dubby.
You tried that green one yet?
No, man. I'm still stuck on the one I'm on. The what was it? The push and punch.
Push and punch. Keep it pushing.
Push and punch. And it's absolutely delicious, man. But I think it's about time that we pull our guest in, man. What do you think? You want to
good, man. Yeah. You want to
pull in Mr. Swift? You
Mr.
guys
Brian Swift.
You yes, guys sir. Give it up for our guest, Mr. Brian Swift.
Gentlemen, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Mr. Swift, how you doing, man? Thanks so much for coming on. And it's going to be good. I seen your email and I read a little bit of your story, and we've got to speak on the phone a few times and pre-show, and you guys are in for a great story, man. It's going to be a blessing.
Let's do it.
Absolutely. So Let's hear it, Mr. Swift. Where are you from, man? What's your story? Let's hear Mr. Brian Swift's story.
All righty. So I am in the interesting state of Illinois. I live right outside the city in the South Burbs. I grew up here my whole life. Very, you know, played sports my whole life. Typical, you know, kid, teenager. And story starts in 1979. So a lot of your listeners might not have even been born then. So listen up, 1979, that back when music was rocking and rolling and really meant something. And I want to say the glory days, but they were glory days back in those times.
Yeah.
So it was the day after Christmas. I was a senior in high school and out at a park, just a local park, playing football with my friends. As I said, I played football and basketball and baseball, and I had just happened to be running with the ball and I got tackled from behind. Nothing big. I didn't fall on my head or land on my head or nothing traumatic by any stretch. It just was odd. But bottom line is, man, that was the last time I'd be running. Not sure why. The doctors are puzzled as to, you know, how I broke my neck. I'm being tackled from behind. You know, and I wish I had a better story, but it's a dull, boring story. I was running, I got tackled and broke my C5, C6 vertebrae, and it left me a quadriplegic, you know, at the age of 17. So, I mean, that's where everything started for me.
Yeah. And so you had to learn all over again, huh?
Yes. I mean, and like everything in life, you know, it's a mindset.
Yeah.
It's a mindset. It's a heart set. And nobody teaches you how to go through things that traumatic.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was off to the hospital and you got my, they took a piece of bone out of my hip and fused my neck and then off to one of the top rehabilitation centers. Now it's called the Shirley Ryan Ability Lab. You know, and you're laying there, and at first you're not moving anything from the neck down, and you're just hoping to get some movement back, obviously. And you know you're going to get some back, but, you know, what, you know, how much is that some? You know, and little by little I got, you know, some of my arm movement back, but, I mean, it probably took a month just to get some decent arm movement back, and I don't even think I could feed myself after a month. I still needed help being fed, so it was an interesting start of my journey.
Yeah, I bet. Now, when something big like that happens, you know, it's an obvious physical battle. But when something like that happens, what was the mental and the emotional battle like that for you in the early days?
You know, I mean, I was really blessed. So I had a mother that, you know, was just this faith-driven homemaker. And I had a father that was all about tough love. And back in 1979, when you broke your neck, your outcome read like your outcome was like a Stephen King novel. I mean, this is 1979. We didn't have technology. We weren't doing things like we are now. We didn't have cell phones. So the prognosis was really ugly and sad.
Yeah.
You are basically, they look at a book and say, this is the vertebrae you broke. This might be what you might get back in terms of movement. And this is what you'll probably be able to do. And back then, people who broke their neck that high, they didn't go to school. They didn't get married. They didn't have jobs. They didn't drive again. It was all what you're not going to be able to do. Now, you know, my parents were the, you know, okay, I know what your book says, but you don't understand, you know, kind of the mindset, heart set that my son has. And that we have is a family. So, I mean, they just, you know, they listened. They went with it. I've never seen them shake in their wavering future of things. This was my mom. You know, things happen for a reason. We don't always know why. The why doesn't almost matter, but now what? So, yeah. You know, it's a term I use a lot in my coaching is now what, right? Shit happens, now what? It's not if shit happens. Shit happens to all of us, now what? It's in that answer of now what, not why. Why doesn't help. Why it happened doesn't matter. It happened. So now what are you going to do?
Yeah.
And that's really what we focused on was the now what part of, you know, okay, you know, you're in a wheelchair. You're not going to go into the trades. You know, what are you going to do with your life? What do you want to do with your life? What can you do? And for my mom, it was just, don't worry about, you know, why. Just understand that things happen for a reason. We don't know why. And just have faith that, you know, ask God just to give you the strength to, you know, move forward. And that's all I really did. You know, I was always driven by faith, but it was the, just give me the strength. And people might not believe this, but for whatever reason, I never asked the good Lord to give me to help me walk. And I don't know why, but it was always just give me the strength and wisdom and courage to keep moving forward. And that's all I asked for.
Wow. You know, a lot of people would have let something like that define them. You know, so what?
A lot of people would have lost faith in everything. From something like that.
Yeah. Absolutely. What made you decide that you weren't going to let that define you? You weren't going to let that define your own story.
So a big part of it, obviously, I'm going to keep going back to my faith and family.
Amen.
And, you know, so I was in the hospital for about 4 months. And about a month in, it was the beginning of January. And I remember it because I turned 18 at the end of the month. And I'm thinking, this is not the way you want to spend your 18th birthday, right? That 18 was a magical number back in the day, kind of was that big number you kind of wait to get to. It's your another stage of kind of freedom and growing up. So I know when he came up to visit me for lunch, he took off his overcoat, he sat down, and I probably was a little salty, you know, a little frustrated. I'm probably thinking, you know, I got a week to my birthday. Here I am 18. I can't even feed myself. I can't do this. I can't do that. And, you know, I'm probably a little salty. And after probably about 10 minutes, he just stands up, walks over to the coat rack, puts his coat on, walks back to the table. And he just stands next to me looking down. And he says, if I ever come up here again and you're in a bad mood and you're not smiling, I'm going to turn around and you won't see me again. I'm not coming up here if you're going to be miserable. He said, it's your job to keep the family together. It's your job to keep the family up. It is your job to be smiling, because as you go, the family goes. If you're smiling, we will all be okay. Took off his coat, sat down. We had lunch. That's all that was ever said of that. I don't even want to call it a conversation. It wasn't a conversation. It was a statement. And that night, it kind of all came together for me that, you know, my accident didn't happen to me. My accident happened maybe for me. And things don't affect just me. You know, things that happened to me are a we thing. It affected my whole family.
Absolutely.
I mean, I know I'm the one laying there, but at that point, I couldn't imagine what it would be like to have to be looking down at your kid and seeing him laying there and deal with that. I know if you're a parent, you would give anything to trade places.
Absolutely.
And I knew then that, like, I could not let my family down, because it wasn't about letting me down. It was about letting them down.
But did that kind of build resentment, or did that give you strength?
No, you got to understand, you know, that was my dad. That was just him. I knew he loved me. I mean, yeah. I'll give you an example. So after 4 months of being in the hospital, I was home, and it was the summertime. And as a quadriplegic, you don't sweat because of your nervous system being all messed up. Mm-hmm. So you get extremely hot, and you have to watch yourself from a heat standpoint. So I know it was in the summer. I was in the house. I remember sitting by the refrigerator, and I was having a conversation with my mom, and he walked in the front door. Now, he never usually comes in the front door. It was always usually the back door. But he must have heard part of the conversation. And I think he thought I was kind of whining and complaining, which I don't know if I was. I might have been talking about just how the heat's really getting to me or something. But, he walked into the kitchen, put his briefcase, on the counter. And he looks at me and he's like, if you're looking for sympathy, you could find it in the dictionary between shit and syphilis. And then he walked out into the family room, turned on the TV, sat down and watched TV. That was my dad's way.
Yeah.
So I didn't take that shit personal. Like, I knew my dad loved me. I don't know if he knew how to react. Like, how do you react? How are you supposed to be when that happens? So I never really thought about it. Like, is he being too hard? Is he being too sensitive? Maybe because he was always that way in our lives. Tough love type of dad.
Yeah.
In that generation, they really were. It was a different generation.
Yeah.
But if it wasn't for stuff like that, man,
that kept you going, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was just preparing you for life ahead of him. That's all that is. Yeah. That generation was hard. Yeah. The generation today couldn't hold a candle to it. No.
Not even close.
No, you can't even holler at these people today. They freak out on you. You know what I mean? Yeah.
And I've read Mr. Twist's bio several times, Joft, and we're gonna switch gears here. We're gonna shift gears. For those first meeting you, Mr. Swift, who is the quad father? And how did that name come about?
So, I was blessed to work in corporate for a lot of years, for 25 years. And I worked in numerous offices. I worked on Michigan Avenue. I was on the 27th floor. I had a corner office. I was blessed, but after a time I wanted more. I wanted something different. And there were five things that I wanted. And the five things were, I wanted to get my health back because my health was kind of not going well. I wanted to spend more time with my family, my mom and dad and my family, because I was married and had kids at that time. And I wanted to write a book. I wanted to write one book to help people get through what I had gone through. I wanted to start a nonprofit, and because being outdoors was a big part of healing. Man, you got to be out there in God's country, man. Then let that vitamin D shine on you and go do a little grounding with Mother Nature. Man, that's where healing happens. And I wanted to learn how to become a professional speaker and coach. I don't know if you've ever heard of John Maxwell. If you want to read some books, he is a phenomenal, phenomenal speaker and coach. And that's who I decided I wanted to get mentored by. So I learned how to, I got certified by John Maxwell to become a coach and speaker. And we started our 501c3 nonprofit called Swift Outdoor Accessible Recreation.
Amazing.
We every year for probably the next 15 years, we took my parents on vacation somewhere with our family. And my health got better. I took time for myself, gave myself a little grace, which I'm not good at doing. Most of us men aren't. We're not very smart when it comes to ourselves. When we're not good at giving ourselves grace. And so I wrote my first book, started the nonprofit, got my health back under me, became a certified coach and speaker. I did kind of all the things that I had set out to do.
Wow, that's amazing. So let's talk about SOAR a little bit. Well, I know you said you started SOAR, which means Swift Outdoor Accessible Recreation. What is exactly that SOAR does? What does SOAR do? What's your mission of it at SOAR?
The best way. So here, our mission is to get people back outdoors who have disabilities, get people back outdoors to enjoy Mother Nature and enjoy the hobbies they used to enjoy or have, because that's where you let off steam. That's where you just find a place that's different than anywhere else. When you become disabled, you give up a lot of things, and your hobbies are probably one of them, because you either physically can't do it, financially can't do it, or maybe just mentally can't do it. Right. So do you remember how COVID felt?
Yes.
That was ugly. It didn't matter who you were. It didn't matter how much money you had. It didn't matter anything, that that feeling of no control and being pent up and having things taken away, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's my explanation.
Yeah, having accurate to me.
Having a disability is very similar. So imagine, you know, 5 years of the way COVID was its worst year. How do you get rid of that feeling? You start to live again. You start to do the things you couldn't do before. You get outside, you find a purpose. So the first thing you got to do is find a purpose. And then start chasing down life again. Learn to thrive again. So what we do is medical insurance. If you've had to deal with it outside the normal realms, you realize the system's broke. Our medical system has been broke for a long time. We've just seen it more lately. So medical insurance does not pay for anything that's not technically a medical necessity, which is almost everything. So if you want to get outdoor wheels so you could go off-roading with your wheelchair, they won't pay for them. You need an attachment so that you could do something. They don't pay for it. You need a new cushion, and it's under 5 years. They won't pay for it. They've got so many devices now. Electric fishing reels. If you're missing a limb or a hand, they've got mono skis. You want to go skiing? They've got so much to do. You could get back out fishing, hunting, camping, but it's financially very difficult to do. So where we come in is we help people through grants get equipment that allows them to do whatever they love back out.
Wow.
They have amazing attachments. So like I have a friend who's a photographer, and I've got this attachment that fits to his wheelchair. Now he can go out, push his wheelchair wherever he wants to go. He has a camera attached to this swinging arm, probably much like your mics. It's like that, but hooked to the wheelchair. He's got his camera out there. He's got a tube that comes to the side of his chair that all he's got to do is like blow into it, and it'll take pictures. This dude's back out and loving life and doing his photography.
That's beautiful.
He's like a new person. Insurance doesn't pay for that stuff.
Yeah.
That's the purpose we try to give back. So, you know, I say we give people equipment and we collaborate with organizations to get them out doing other things. Ultimately, I like to think we give them purpose, we give them hope, we give them accessibility and freedom.
And that's anywhere in the country, Brian. Anybody in the country, if they go to your website, they can get help. If they go to soarnonprofit.com, anyone in the country can get some help?
Yes.
That's amazing, you guys. So if you guys know anybody that has a disability and you want to help them get outside again, man, reach out to soarnonprofit.com and see if you can give them some help. I think that's beautiful. Beautiful, Brian, that you're doing that, because Ed, I can see, I can't, but you know, just saying it, you know, using that term, I could see that you could kind of get stuck in a certain mindset, you know what I mean? Being in the position you are, and you're not, and I think that's amazing. Now, in your bio, you also said you talk about driving human performance. What's the biggest mindset shift people need to make if they want to transform their life?
Probably one of the biggest shifts I help people make is learning to wake up with gratitude, live life without fear. And you would be amazed at people that have not written down goals or have no non-negotiables. And I think COVID stopped a lot of us from dreaming. Young kids, they have no, you ask them what they want to do, what they want to be, what are your dreams? They almost have to look at what a dream means on their phone. I mean, we all grew, I want to put you in the same age as me, but man, as a kid, I had thousands of dreams, right? I mean, I dreamed of doing this, that, the other thing. COVID stopped people from dreaming. So driving human performance is what I did in corporate. I was in sales and then I ran a training department, and it really was just helping people believe in themselves, get rid of that self-fear, self-doubt, eliminate all those mindsets that just stop you.
Yeah.
And to be honest, I work with more able-bodied people than disabled people. Most of my clientele are probably able-bodied people that are just, you know, in corporate, they're entrepreneurs, they're a little bit of come from everywhere, that they finally admit they're stuck, they want to get out of it, and want to find somebody that'll take that journey and walk with them.
Right.
So that's driving Amazing. Performance, man. It's, you know, if you're not looking at getting better, you're either going to get better or you're going to get bitter. And if you're not moving forward, you will be passed up.
Wow.
I got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
It's faith-based. After all this, how do you see yourself in you know, I'm saying, the faith realm of things?
Oh, my gosh. I'm a sinner. I'm a pathetic sinner.
Come on.
That I'm human. I mean, you know what? I'm never going to live up to God's standards. But darn, man, I wake up every day trying. And I go to bed asking for forgiveness and thanking him for all the everything I had. I mean, if you think different, I mean, and I'm not saying you have to think, I don't wake up every day and think about being a sinner every day by any stretch. I am blessed. I'm like crazy blessed.
Yes.
And I just take the lessons and turn them into blessings and let God send me on my divine direction. We don't know where that's going to go. Happens for a reason. We don't always, you know, for me, it's like, now what? Okay, now what? You know, this mess up might be blessing you up because it's a divine direction that you're being sent in.
Nice. Amen. Go.
Yeah, the road's rocky all the time, man. You know what I'm saying? But with faith, it gets smoother.
Amen.
It does. Now
you said you wrote 10 books, Brian. You wrote 10
yes,
books,
sir.
And from what I read right, did all of them or just some of them hit the bestseller status?
Three
of them. Whoa, three wow. Bestsellers, amazing. Man. And what were those book titles and what were they about? Were they true stories or what were those about?
Is kind of on the most inspirational, you know, trying to drive performance and mindset and heart set. So there were a couple that, two books that, one was a kid's book that I wanted to write a kid's book. So it's basically a hockey puck, a baseball, football, and a basketball that are all characters. And that one's called, Having a Ball. The other ones are, my first book was called Up, Getting Up is the Key to Life. And I guess the way the title came to me was just, we're all getting knocked down. It's not if, it's when. And as long as you can accept that, I help people get comfortable being uncomfortable. You have got to learn to get comfortable being uncomfortable. And if you want to succeed, sometimes you got to embrace the suck. Because sometimes life's going to suck. And you've got to embrace it.
Sometimes when things are too comfortable, it makes me uncomfortable. You know what I mean? Because I know uncomfortable is about to make comfortable not happen.
Well, wait a minute. Yeah.
Everything is going so good right now, man. Something bad is going to happen. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, that's good. You said it right. I was trying to keep up.
Yeah, I tell my wife, she's like, what are you doing? I was like, I'm going to go stub my toe on purpose. That way I can just get that out of the way.
Well, what happens is when things get comfortable, we start to become less humble and we start to give ourselves too much gratitude and we start to pat ourselves on the back, men, I think. So when things get comfortable, we say, look what I'm doing. Look at me. I'm, and we start to push God a little bit too far out of the equation. And occasionally he needs to humble us. So, in life, you're either humble or being humbled.
Absolutely.
Amen. Yeah.
Now, I've heard you say, I've heard you bring up gratitude several times, and I love that word. I struggled with it for a long time. Now, on this journey, what has it taught you about gratitude, Brian?
Well, when I was in the hospital, and you think that you're in a bad spot, and you're seeing people that are in way worse condition than you. And I get to go home to a loving mother and father in a nice house, middle class. My parents are second generation here. They didn't go to college, we always had a roof over our head. We always had food on the table. And when you start to look at what you have instead of what you don't have, and let's face it, we live in a country that really drills into you that shiny object syndrome, right? Yeah. Gotta have it.
Yeah, we're like raccoons around here all the time.
I need that better mic. I need a bigger screen.
Yeah, a better mic's nice, Brian.
No, it is.
But, you felt that, didn't you?
I did, right in the heart.
He was like, oh, man.
Right in the heart.
But we're all guilty, right? We're all guilty of that. And when you start to look and just be thankful for what we have, and understand, absolutely, you don't want to live life. And I even get tired of, it could be worse. It could be worse. No shit. It could always be worse. But what about just living it with gratitude of what you have?
Absolutely.
And I also learned real early in life, something I teach my kids. I think it's one of the biggest lessons. You get what you want out of life by helping others get what they want out of life. It's just the way it works.
If somebody wants to find one of your books, where do they go?
Amazon. You can go to my website, brianpswift.com. Amazon, they're all on Amazon. If you ever want to reach out to me, man, I'm on Facebook under Brian P. Swift. I am on LinkedIn under Brian P. Swift. Under Instagram, I am the Quad Father. So on Instagram, you're going to have to find the underscore Quad Father. So I don't think I ever answered that name or answered your question. So about 35 years into my injury, when I was stepping out of corporate, maybe 40 years, I was trying, you hear about branding. How do you want to brand yourself? What does that even mean? And I'm like, nobody knows about, it's got to be something clever. My name's Brian Swift. Okay, Swift is slightly interesting. Not when you're a slow white guy and playing sports, it's not. I disappointed a lot of coaches, let me tell you, in my day. Man, I had a coach one time tell me, Swift, if you were in a race with a pregnant woman, you'd come in third place. And I just was not real speedy.
Not so swift.
Not even close. I think that's what my dad wanted. My dad wanted to name me Not So. But
Not So. You know, I can relate. My last name is Carpenter. I can't build nothing, man. I'm really terrible. I built a doghouse once. The dog was scared to death to get into it. You know, I was like, come on, get in there.
So we still ain't learned quad father. Where'd it come from?
Please.
You know what? I exercise every day. I was out for one of my long rides. I was just thinking, you know, this quad life and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, one of my biggest joys in life is being a father. And it just came together, and I'm like, Godfather. Well, I mean, that I could never wear that, but Quadfather, I'm like, that is who I am, man.
That's so pretty good.
Yeah, it kind of made my logo look that. Like.
So that's I'm good.
Like, I'm like, I never heard it out there. I'm owning it. So that one's mine. Actually, I actually had the logo even submitted to be not patented, but
copyright.
The logo's copyrighted. So,
wonderful. Now I got two more questions, and then we're going to get into my final thoughts. And Josh has probably got a question or two more.
Yeah.
First question: You've done everything, being an author, coach, a podcast host. What fuels your passion the most, and why?
I love coaching athletics. And coaching people. And I think it's because I have coached football from high school on down for 22 years. I have coached basketball from high school level all the way down to little dunkers, 5-year-olds. I am friends with guys I coached 30 years ago that now are fathers and have kids. I think coaching people is one of the most fulfilling things I've ever done outside of being a good father and a good son and a husband.
Mm. You got another one, Josh?
I'm here looking at your website, the Brian P. Swift website.
Mm-hmm.
I'm liking this Developing True Grit, Become Unstoppable book. You know what I mean? This is a high quality website. I mean, my only question is, you know what I'm saying?
High quality.
I'm sorry. I got turned down on it. You know? But, My question is, you know, do you at the end of the day, you know what I mean? Do you feel like some things were just meant to happen? Do you think things happen for a reason, like for real, you know, or is it just coincidence sometimes?
I'm a big believer in we don't know what we don't know, and I believe things happen for a reason. And I do believe in a divine direction. I think people meet for a reason. We may not know what that reason is. It might be a short span of time that we've met and stayed together, or a long time. But I think things happen. Now, I don't believe we're predestined, because we have choice. God's given us choice. And the ability to make choices is probably one of the greatest gifts we've been given. So I don't believe in predestination, but I think things do happen for a reason.
My last question was kind of along the same lines. It was almost the same. And my last question was, do you believe purpose came from your pain?
Don't you know the only reason people change? The only reason people change is when the pain that they're at becomes greater than where they want to go. Yes, absolutely. My purpose came from my pain, 100%. And the more you feel, the more you lean into that pain, trust me, the faster, quicker, harder you're going to go.
Yeah.
So, I mean, from a coaching standpoint, do teams learn anything when they win? What do teams and what individuals do when you win? What do you do?
We cheer. Celebrate. We're happy. We celebrate.
Give each other high fives. Talk about how great you are.
Yeah.
Do you learn anything?
No.
No.
When do you learn?
When you lose.
When you lose.
So, you know, I'm thinking, and I don't know why this image came into me. You know how many times you could tell your kids not to ride that bike between the sidewalk and the grass? That ugly spot that is going to rack you if you're a guy. And you could tell them that 100 times. You know when they stop riding it?
When they rack and roll.
Rack and roll.
It is, man.
No title. Yeah. Rack and roll.
It's a new title. That's, you see, you can write a book now. Rack and roll. Lessons from so that, I mean, it just is what it is. I didn't make the rules, but we certainly learn more when we rack and roll ourselves.
Right. Yeah, I've always said a lesson earned is a lesson learned. You know what I mean? Absolutely. Can't forget it. Pain's a great teacher too.
Absolutely.
Oh, it's the best. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, Brian, you've been, Mr. Swift, you've been absolutely great, man. I do a segment and it's called My Final Thoughts. It just kind of sums up my final thoughts about the show or about the guest. And with the guest, I always have you guys send me a bio so I get to know you guys. You know what I mean? Before Josh does. I send it to him, but I read it a lot. And then I get to talk to you guys on the phone. And then we do pre-show. So I get to know you guys. So when I have guests like you, I like to do a segment called My Final Thoughts. So this is my final thoughts. So we heard a story that reminds us that life doesn't always go the way we planned. Sometimes the road we thought we were going to walk suddenly disappears beneath our feet. Brian was just 17 years old when his life changed forever. In a moment, everything he thought his future would look like was taken away. And most people would have let that moment define the rest of their life. But Brian chose something different. He chose to live with no excuses. He chose to turn pain into purpose, adversity into strength, and obstacles into a mission to help other people rise above their circumstances. What I love about Brian's story is this. He didn't just learn how to survive. He learned how to walk differently through life, not just physically, but mentally and spiritually. He walks with confidence. He walks with grit. He walks with compassion, and most importantly, he walks with the understanding that sometimes the pain we didn't choose is the one that leads us exactly where we're supposed to go. Because the truth is, every one of us will face something in life that we didn't ask for, something that feels unfair, something that tries to convince us that our story is over. But Brian's life reminds us tonight, it's not over. Your setback doesn't define your future. Your struggles does not cancel your purpose. And your circumstances do not get the final say in who you become. Sometimes the very thing that tried to break you becomes the thing that builds you. And that's what the Quad Father represents. A reminder that no matter what life takes away from you, it can never take away your will to rise. So if you're listening tonight and life has knocked you down, remember this. Your story isn't finished. Those are my final thoughts.
Wow. Thank you for that. That was beautiful. I agree with everything you said. And as you said, it is a choice.
Absolutely.
And it's a choice worth going through the pain for, because life's beautiful. We just got to make it that way.
Absolutely. Well, Brian, thank you so much.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah.
Awesome talking with you.
Awesome. It was awesome talking to you. If you ever need to come on, if you write another book, or if you need to come on and promote another book, whenever you want to come on and hang out with Josh and myself, you got an open invitation to come sit with us.
Thank you. And you know what? I am open. If you guys ever, you know, need somebody, you want somebody, you want to go down a road, poke that nest of of bees that people are afraid to poke. I'm not afraid to poke the nest. Brother.
Well, no, you live in you live in Illinois, and I know you're not afraid of pricksters, so you know. But that's a whole different show. I was
that's
told
a whole other show,
man. You know what? I'm ready to talk to that one. I'm good to go on that one because I mean it is, you know.
Pre-show. We could do that on the pre-show.
Yeah. That's another,
That's my topic right there. Yeah. I'd like
You know what? Let's go.
Well, Brian, thank you so much. God
Gentlemen,
bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming on. We love you, man. And if you ever need us, reach out, okay?
I will. Okay. God bless, gentlemen.
God bless.
You too, sir.
Take care.
Bye.
Mr. Swift, man. What do you think, Josh?
Oh, I like Mr. Brian.
Unbelievable,
He is a testament of what you can do in the face
That's
of...
That's right.
Absolute tragedy, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I don't think if something like that would have happened to me, I don't know how well I could
Back up. Yeah, I know.
And I don't mean that with a pun or anything. I just mean keep going in life, you know.
Yeah.
That would be a massive
blow. And then he turned it into purpose. He started a nonprofit to help people get out of the house.
Well, and
you
like
know
you
what
say,
mean? And still
bro,
go
you,
out.
You always say that video is going to reach somebody that needs it. You know what I mean? Him talking is going to reach somebody
that
needs it. Somebody's ready to give up.
Yep.
And,
That's why we do what we do. That's why Josh and myself come on here, and that's why we have guests like that. Josh and myself handpicked these guests. I talk to everybody, every one of them on the telephone, and it's for a reason. It's because I want to get to know them a little bit, and I couldn't wait for Josh to meet Mr. Swift because I just felt the vibe. Yeah. I just felt it. There was a good vibe there. Everything I read on him, and I've seen him on other podcasts. I looked him up. I researched the Quad Father, and. Yeah.
I like that.
It was a good vibe. And I truly believe that somebody is listening to one of these shows, and it just takes one that listens to it. And that's all we need, my brother. That's all we need.
Yeah. Good show. That's good guest. I like it.
Well,
you know me and books, dude. I'm going to grab one. I'm going to look through
that's
his
right.
website there.
So. You guys, I hope you had a good night with us, man. You guys, don't forget to another guest next week, and it's going to be amazing. We're on at 7:30 p.m. Eastern time every weekend at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. Don't forget to check our YouTube channel out at Light It Up Live. We're on Rumble, Facebook, and what, Josh? YouTube. I already said it, Facebook. But you guys do me another favor and remember that your rope's longer than you think. God's rope, it has no end. And hold on tight. God bless.
Lift our eyes. Welcome home to Light It Up Live. Lift our eyes. Welcome home to Light It Up Live.